I don't see the passion. Not like it ought to be. I don't see the hunger for the things of God. Used to be when the doors opened up at church, people flowed in. Whether it was Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, people were here because it was God's word. You hear of other cultures and countries where people stand out for hours. Billy Graham testified to that. But even in today's day, people standing in for hours and wanting to just hear God's word because it's precious to them. Countries that don't have Bibles that just would love to have a sheet out of the Bible that they could read. And as Americans, we're just so spoiled. Rottenly so. So comfort-oriented and self-centered focused for our own luxuries, comforts, and desires and goals. And we miss what God has called we as his people to do. We're called to be passionate for God. Passionate. I want to look at the definition of apathy, and I want to look at the definition of passion. Apathy is defined as absence of emotion, or two, lack of interest or concern. That number two, I see more and more lack of concern. Lack of desire for God's word. How many don't, this is rhetorical, don't answer me. How many of you spend time in the word of God reading your Bible every day? If you do, praise the Lord, but if you don't, why not? Passion. How much time do you spend with God rather than your time in your own life? Passion is what is needed. And passion is defined as any compelling emotion. And the second definition was like five or six, but the first two were any compelling emotion. And the second is strong, amorous feeling. Do you know what this is showing in contrast between light and darkness, hot and cold, all these contrasts? Is that we're either on fire for God or we're not. We're either passionate about him or we're not. We're either hungry for him or we're not. And I'm seeing more of that we're not than we are. I'm seeing more of the American rote than I see the passion of God's people. And it has broken my heart. And I'm not saying I'm better. I'm just saying that all of us, this is a mission field. This is God's work. This is his kingdom work. Eternal values. And it isn't accomplished just on Sunday morning. And you and I know that. You and I need to be reaching out. And if we are, praise the Lord. If you are reaching out to people, praise the Lord. If you're not reaching out to people, you need to think about it. Do we hear one another talking about how we're reaching out to different people? No. Why? Passion. They feel such a crushing burden for God's people. To be God's people passionately for him. Not just content to have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not just content to know that when we die, we're going to heaven. Not just content that we can say that we're a Christian and we go to church. But focused on his kingdom work. Where kingdom work is a priority. Where we adapt and adjust our lives accordingly. Not to our convenience, but for God's glory. In Matthew 25, 1 through 5, removing apathy from the church, or remove apathy from the church, and it's there. It's not, it's here, it's other places. You see, Pastor, it's not here, it's here. Because I don't see the hunger. It says in Matthew 25, 1 through 5, it says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. Five of them were foolish and five were sensible. Five were saved, five were not saved. Five had oil, five didn't have oil. Five shone bright for the Lord, five did not shine bright for the Lord. When the foolish took their lamps, they didn't take oil with them, but the sensible ones took oil in their flasks with their lamps, since the groom was delayed. They all became, who are the they are? All the 10 virgins, but in particular the ones who had the oil, the saved ones. They all became drowsy It's another word for drowsy, lazy, slumbering. They all became drowsy, lazy, slumbering. Now I can put this in front of you, and I don't have to, but I'm going to. You know and I know if we're doing what God's called us to do. So if you're doing what God's called you to do and you're in the plan of God's will for your life, there shouldn't be any conviction, just acknowledgement saying yes. That's right. And if you're not doing what God's called you to do, I pray there's conviction. Because God's kingdom work is God's kingdom work. And it takes that passion to be the people that God truly wants us to be. We are his people by name and by right in Christ Jesus. But to be his people in action, in deed, in word, in mission, takes passion. In Revelation 3, verses 14 through 19, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. This is Jesus talking, the creator of heaven and earth. And he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. Make your mind up, be one or the other. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you. You know what God is saying? For every one of his children who are not passionate for him, not in his will, not in his plan, not seeking to be in tune with the very heartbeat of God, but has chosen to say, Lord, I'm glad I'm saved. That's all I want when I die and go to heaven. And that's all that matters to me, but not your kingdom work. He says it makes him sick. Plain as day. I didn't say it. God said it right here. Because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am going to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, I have become wealthy and need nothing, and you don't know what you are, that you are wretched, poor, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. If we as God's children are not passionately focused, involved in the will of God for our life, then that tells me personally, in my own personal walk, if I'm not passionate, focused, seeking out the plan of God's will, then my heart is not desiring Jesus as Lord of my life. Now I want to reiterate, I am not mad. My face may get red. I am not mad. I am overwhelmed by God's presence, and I say that as humbly as I know how, of that burden that we as God's people in America and Kalinga in this place will be God's people, and that we will embrace that with great passion. And you look at the 10 virgins and you can say, well, there's the saved and the lost, there's the 5 that have the oil, the 5 that don't. But this looked at, zero that in just a little bit and say, this look at the, they're all Christians, but this look at the ones that keep their lamps trimmed and their light burning bright, and the others who don't care if the light grows dim. We're either passionate for him or we are not. And he says in verse 18, I advise you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich, and white clothes so that you may be dressed and your shameful nakedness is not exposed, and ointment to spread on your eyes so that you may see. Now this is not for you and I, that verse here. Why are you talking about it, Pastor? That verse is in reflection to the lost, to those that didn't have the oil. And Jesus is telling them, he's saying, look, I advise you, it's good advice that you would buy from me gold refined. The price of Jesus is we can't compare. We can't place a price on him. Seek out the Lord. Gold is a symbol that typifies deity. And it says, buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. You and I are already rich because we have Christ in our life and we have the inheritance. We are co-heirs of Jesus Christ. Everything the Father has for the Son, he has for you and I to share in eternity. We're already rich. White clothes. You and I already have white clothes. We've been washed in the blood of Christ. so that you may be dressed, and your shameful nakedness. We are no longer condemned. We are free from condemnation. And then in the last part it says, and that you might have an anointment to spread on your eyes that you may see. As Christians, we are spiritually alive. We can see if we choose to look, follow, proceed after Christ. I want to know spiritual truth. I want to know the ways of God. I want to know His passion. I can't make you passionate. And if you're already passionate, praise God. And if you're not, then I pray you will be, because that's what God wants. He said it Himself. Make a decision. Cold, hot, not lukewarm. Don't play the fence. Don't walk the middle. Be on fire for me or cold for me. Make a decision. Because when we're lukewarm, we make Him sick. Because we're missing out on what God has done for us already. Replace apathy with hunger for God's word. In Acts 20, 7 through 12, talk about hunger. I was thinking about, you know, we saw a few months or so ago a video clip of Africans being, you know, watching the Jesus film, and the so many that receive Christ and their connection emotionally with the film of Jesus. And we hear about testimonies of other world countries. We have a guy here in town that goes to different places around the world and harvest ministries. And in that, every time he comes back, I say, how'd it go? I've been praying for it. And he goes, you know what? People were just coming. People were just coming. People were just coming. But there, not here. And you want to say it's because of the world we live in. You want to say it's because of society in America. You want to say it's everything else but us. That's not fair, Pastor. But I tell you what, if we gave it a fair shake and we're passionate, each one of us, for the things of God, it might make a difference for the kingdom of God. On the first day of the week, we assembled to break bread. Paul spoke to them, and since he was about to depart the next day, he extended his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where we were assembled, and a young man named Eutychus was sitting in a windowsill and sank into a deep sleep as Paul kept on speaking. When he was overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was picked up dead. But Paul went down, threw himself on him, embraced him, and said, "Don't be alarmed, his life is in him." After going upstairs, breaking the bread, and eating, he conversed a considerable time until dawn. Then he left. Do you get what happened here? They assembled together. They broke bread together. They heard him preach. They were hungry for the word. A kid falls out of the window to his death on the ground. Paul raises them back up. They go back upstairs hungry for the word, and they talk all night until morning. They weren't put out, "Well, man, that was drama. Let's go home." They were more interested in the word of God and eating the word of God and being hungry on the word of God. That tells me that this is an example in Scripture. Something's wrong. Something's wrong when we are not hungry for God's word. Stir passion for God's kingdom work, Acts 1:3. I want us to look at Jesus' heart for passion. After he had suffered the cross, right, rose from the dead, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking, what about? About the kingdom of God. What was on Jesus' heart when he rose from the dead? What did he talk to the disciples about those 40 days before he ascended to the Father? The kingdom work. It's not just a phrase or a pretty thought. We are called into God's kingdom work. And I'm going to reiterate, if you're involved in God's kingdom work, you're doing what God's called you to do, you should be saying amen, amen, amen. But if you're not, then you ought to be convicted. Because it's God's kingdom work. In Mark 16, 14 through 15, it says, later he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who saw him after he had been resurrected. Then he said to them, what did Jesus say? He said, go into the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. There was a command of action for God's kingdom work. Whether we're fixing a building, whether we're fellowshipping together, or whether we're going out on a mission field, or whether we're talking to our neighbors, or whether we're encouraging each other, it's all inclusive of God's kingdom work. John 20, 21, Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me. What did Jesus say? I also send you. Are you going? Are you trying? Are you praying? Are you concerned? Or are we oblivious to the command, I also send you? Romans 12, 11. Do not lack diligence. This is God's word, his charge to you and to me. Do not lack diligence. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Candidly speaking, I feel like a broken record up here sometimes. We need help in service. We need you to use your spiritual gifts. We need you to discover your gifts. We need you to be involved in God's kingdom work. Mentally, intellectually, knowledgeably, we know that. Not doing it for the majority part. Do you see why coming up here, I said, Lord, I can't do it. I can't preach this. And I told the Lord, I said, I love this church family. They're my brothers and sisters in Christ. My desire is not to hurt them. My desire is to help them. And encourage them to be everything God wants them to be, because that's the fullness of life. And Scripture commands that elders, leaders, overseers of the church reprove and rebuke and do these things. That's the hard part of being a pastor, whether it be from the pulpit or in personal counseling. Reprove. Help them realize, just turn around. It's you're slipping the wrong way. My desire is that we as a church are a church on fire every day of the week in each of our lives. We have opportunity to be in the Word together, just be in the Word together. You say, well, Pastor, that's your thing. I mean, I don't have to be there. No, you don't. But there's something wrong if we're not hungry for the Word. Now, if you're getting the Word and you're in the Word, that says something else. But you and I are called to be on fire for Jesus. And I would have preferred not to preach this message. I would have preferred to say, Jesus loves you, let's go home. So what category do you find yourself in? Apathetic towards or passionate for God's work? It's this fair, square, straightforward question. James 5, 19 and 20 says, my brothers, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back. What was the truth that I'm talking about that we're maybe in the category of swaying from the truth? If we're cold, if we're lukewarm, we're not adhering to truth. If we're on fire, we're exactly where God wants us to be. My brothers, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, he would show that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his life from death and cover a multitude of sins. I want us as brothers and sisters in Christ to just be, this is a personal thing. I think it's personal to God too. we're going to read a scripture, to come together and just be, can't get enough. I'm excited about being involved in God's work. I love the unity of the saints together. And I want to grow together. It's hard to shut my mouth right now, but I'm going to. We're going to forsake the Lord's Supper service today. We'll take it again next week, if that's all right. I want us to think about our passion for Jesus. I want us to remember that it's more than Sunday morning. It's every day. Let's go to the Lord. Father, it's scary for me. And it's extremely difficult for me. And it's also painful for me to present this message. I've tried very hard, Father, to guard against getting on the soapbox of Terry Glover, but making sure that what is said comes from you. My prayer has been all through this morning that you would speak and that it would be clearly evident that it's you speaking, not this pastor named Terry Glover, but you, by your Spirit and by your Word. And I humbly lay not only myself, but us as a church before you. I pray that you breathe on us passion. I pray that we see the fire in each of our hearts for you and your kingdom work. I pray, Father, that you will allow us to be a bright light here and throughout the world. But it takes passion. So I ask, Father, that you would consider that. You know each one of our hearts. You know where we stand. And Father, if there are those out there, my brothers that I love and my sisters that I love that are offended with me this morning, please help them to have the grace to forgive me. But know, Father, earnestly seeking your Spirit, have presented this word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.